Fanno il sonico rigorosamente. Per te, sì. So there are oblates, there are many here. They have friends. So I want to speak to you a bit about the Benedictines. Because now it's my responsibility to give you more about the grace of being children of Saint Benedict. So you may fructify this grace that you have received of being oblates. And for everybody also to learn more about Saint Benedict. Just a reminder, Saint Benedict is the patron of Europe. And you answer why? It's because 80% of towns and cities in Europe were built up around a monastery. That's it. So Saint Benedict will send his monks in the wilderness. They will build up the monastery, and in the meanwhile they will convert all the area, preaching catechism, so, and giving them opportunity of working, classes, culture, of course sacraments and mass. So people were looking precisely for that, because a monastery, according to the Holy Rule of Saint Benedict, is a school of the holiness of God, of holiness. And a monastery teaches families, yes, how is the ideal family has to be run, has to be behaved, how to pray. At the family level. This is why a monastery, also the presence of Saint Benedict, is more powerful than the missionaries. Because the missionaries go to the individual conversion of the Catholics, of the people who are not Catholics. But monasteries, Saint Benedict aims to families. Not only to the individual, but also families. This is why families will go around a monastery, to live around a monastery in the wilderness. It's ideal in these times, it's ideal. And to work together, to pray together, to have a sound environment and a school, even the oblates will help out with the school. And very beautiful things. This is why 80% of cities and towns in Europe built around a monastery. So I can give you an idea. A great idea of how powerful was Saint Benedict. For example, when Saint Gregory the Great sends Saint Augustine of Canterbury to England, he went with 40 monks, and they converted the whole of England. First the king, and after England. In such a way, when Henry VIII founded the Anglican Church, the Schismatics, 50% of the country were in the hands of the church. And the Benedictines were the greatest number in monasteries. So in Europe you will have found every 10 kilometers one monastery. So it's tremendously the world, and very few people know about that. And so now enter into the spirituality of Saint Benedict. He places the three columns which sustain a monastery or a family, a religious Catholic family, are three things. It's humility, obedience, and silence. And of course, before speaking about that, you have to know or remember, I have to remember, that the foundation of the Catholic Church is the faith. So the Catholic Church is founded upon the faith, the teaching of our Lord. And why faith is important? Why? Because what connects us, it's a way of speaking, what unites us with our Lord is faith. Not only once a day, not only once a week, like communion, but faith unites us with Christ every second, every moment. This is why our Lord says, the just man, my children, lives by faith. So we are in connection with our Lord, we are in union with Him, so we receive His graces, His love, His blessings, through faith. It's a connection. It's like a socket. What connects our Lord with us is faith. This is why when someone places our faith in danger, or dilutes it, or compromises the faith with another religion, it's attacking the very bounds between our Lord and us. So it's undermining the foundations of the Catholic Church, which is the faith. Just a reminder. This is why the faith is the number one priority. Number one. In such a way that if we don't have faith, we are not safe. If we don't have faith, we cannot receive baptism. If we don't have faith, we don't have access to sacraments. If we don't receive grace. We are off for the church, even. If we formalize our lack of faith, we make it formal in public, we become already schismatics, you know. So, for St. Benedict, once you have the faith, the three columns which sustain the building, yes, of your spiritual life, of your family, is humility, obedience, and silence. So humility, for St. Benedict, he explains, in fact, the explanation of St. Benedict is taken by St. Thomas Aquinas. Exactly the same. 12 degrees of humility are taken by St. Thomas Aquinas, the same, without modification. So the humility, St. Thomas the Child Jesus defines humility as living in the reality. Humility is to live in the reality. With reality, that God is everything and we are nothing. So St. Benedict says, humility is to live in the presence of God. By faith, through faith. And if you're connected by faith, automatically you receive the love of God. Yes, you are repented. And hope, the vision of hope. It's why to sustain that love for God, which is the building, is it the spirit of the building. What is inside the building is the love of God. The purpose of the building of our spiritual life is the love of God, to have that love being developed and growing in our life higher and higher and higher. What sustains that faith has to be there, no? Strong faith. Because if you are not interested in faith, or you compromise the faith, you are building on sand. This is why faith is the rock. It's the foundation of the church. If you don't defend the faith, you are you don't want to build up upon the rock, you know, of the faith. Therefore, you are building on sand. This is why the faith is the foundation. And after that, comes humility. Humility is the strongest of all supports and columns of the edifice of our spiritual life. Means we live by faith in the presence of God, and we want to focus on God, to pray to Him, to love Him, to accept His will, His cross, to hear whatever He has to say in order to follow us, that we may follow Him. And from that degree of humility comes the other 11. So the first degree is to live in the presence of God, through faith. And after comes the other degrees of humility, which is obedience. It's the second degree. So automatically you obey whatever God has to say to you through the authority and through the circumstances. And automatically, after that, you want to carry the cross. You love the cross. You don't want to get rid of the cross. After that, you want to mortify yourself, and you want to have externally a humble bearing in order to imitate your internal dispositions. But your body has to be sober, serious, and with modesty, with a penitent spirit, in order to focus on God, knowing you. Yes, because the body is like a donkey. If the donkey is not trained, is not controlled, it goes wild and rebels very easily. So you have a bridle for the donkey. It's penance. It's mortification. It's the austerity of life, poverty. all those things are what help the soul, the body, to obey the soul, to be submit to the soul and the soul to God. So you will learn the rule you will be reading every day, you will be learning about the same thing. So once you have humility, you have obedience. And obedience heroic. Because remember, the obedience to authority is the obedience to God. Except in questions of faith and morals. This is why the authority wants us to do something which is undermining the faith or morals, we don't obey. Even not only that, but we stay firm. If the attitude is constant of authority telling us to do things or to believe things which are undermining our faith and morals, we stay away from them. Yes, automatically. So this obedience is, I would say, the virtue which is more lacking today, but also the one who is falsified very easily. Because obedience is to God. Yes. Obedience is to God. Through the authority. So the children obey parents. By obeying the parents, they obey God. So we obey the priest because they are Christ now. But if the priest is teaching us something which is a guilty faith of morals, we don't obey. We obey to the next instance, which is, will be the bishop, the Pope, and if they still they are not teaching us or they are misleading us on the way to heaven, we go to the next instance after the Pope in obedience, is Christ. Christ. So that's precisely what we are doing. So we are in a state of necessity, why? Because the Pope, the bishops, are not teaching, not leading us to the way of salvation. This is why we are in a state of necessity, and automatically in a state of necessity, the bishop is Christ directly. He's the one who gives the permission, he's the one who gives the authority for us to do what we do in a state of necessity. The bishop is Christ directly. Any other bishop, traditional, is auxiliary bishop. They are there to help out any need around the world. They are not there to govern, they are not there to govern or to be authority, because they don't have jurisdiction, they only supply jurisdiction, which is case by case. So we don't have flocks as such. We have faithful dispersed around the world who comes to us, and we are helping them. Yes, which is different. We are not shepherds in the strict sense. We are shepherds, or those who come to us, running away from the wolves, running against away of the from the wolves. So, obedience is, I will say, it doesn't exist anymore, even in tradition. It's misunderstood. Because real obedience is to accept whatever comes from divine providence, from the superiors, and embrace that cross and do it as coming from God. So it's forbidden for Catholic to see the human person who is telling me to do something. We have to see God, Christ, every moment we are asked to do something from authority or from our dear state or from divine providence. Our mistake is to see the human side. We only analyze the order given to us in obedience, only analyze to see if there is something against faith or morals. But the only reason why we analyze the order, we don't analyze if it's just, if it's prudent, if the person is better, is wise, or is convenient to me, or is damaging to me. We don't analyze those things. Samenity will help you with that. Samenity will help you to put in the right perspective what is obedience. And the last column, support of the spiritual life, is silence. You will be surprised. Silence is part of humility. Comes from humility. Means you don't want to interrupt God speaking to the others. You don't want to talk back to God when He decides to send you a cross. you want to be in a listening position, in an obeying service position always. That is silence. You don't want to impose, you want to be docile to whatever God decides for you in the next minute, in the next moment. And therefore you love others to speak rather than to you to speak. If you speak, it's only something about God or from your duty in order to edify the others, to bring others to God. So because we don't, humility orders us and silence that we don't show off, we don't bring call people to us, but on the contrary, we are at the service of the others to bring them to Christ. Because silence is very important, interior and exterior silence. Peace comes from silence and humility and obedience. Peace comes from that peace. Peace of having order, of having God as a first aim, first priority. And I am the last one. This is why I am in peace. Because it doesn't matter what happened to me. It doesn't matter the pain or the persecution or the cross that I am undergoing. Because what matters is that I fix my eyes in Christ, in the Blessed Virgin Mary, in heaven. And I am being sacrificed, crucified constantly, because we are in a service mode all the time. We are supposed to be in a service mode. This is why we never look to ourselves. We never have pity upon us. Oh, how much pain, how difficult, or how I need consolation, I need sacraments, I need. No, we don't look to ourselves. We look to God's will, to God's love, to God's cross. It's crucifying. But you know why it's so painful? Because we live in a human mode the whole time. And we're supposed to be living in a divine mode the whole time, by faith. So this is why, if we live in a divine mode, when a cross comes on our way, we automatically, we welcome the cross. Because it's Christ giving you a blessing, a message saying, I need your help. I need you to help me to save souls, to be crucified with me in this moment, to win graces for someone. If you see the cross coming, you should be welcoming it automatically. So this is why we don't live in the level of faith. This is why we are so painful. If we want to be like fish in the water, means to live by faith, we have to do the effort, constant effort, in silence, in obedience, and humility, through faith, our daily life, in order to have peace in the midst of storms and crosses and persecution. So you will find in St. Benedict these teachings. It's a great, it's a jewel. Four popes canonized the rule of St. Benedict as coming from the Holy Ghost. And St. Gregory the Great, the first Benedictine Pope, he says that the Holy Rule of St. Benedict is the summary of the Gospels. And it's a masterpiece how to rule a family, how to find the way and the spirit of the, spirit of the church for heaven. It's one of the greatest treasures that is not known by people. So you have the privilege to have the Holy Rule now and to be able to read it and apply it to your life. So we keep the Holy Mass and asking this grace for St. Benedict, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.